Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I'm assuming you were with us last hour to the Today's Issues program here on the American Family Radio Network. If you want to send us an email, the comments@afr.net. Join us on Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues, and you will join us live as we video stream the show. We post the stories that we talk about on our Facebook page. And Ed, real quickly, you want to tell our listeners about our Truth for Youth Bible campaign?
Yes, it is National Truth for Youth Bible Week. We want to ask you to help us give away thousands of free Bibles to teenagers. Now, for the last 20 years, American Family Radio has partnered with Revival Fires International to give one free Truth for Youth Bible to every student between the ages of 13 and 18 who promised to pass it along to a friend this school year. Now, I know that there may be some question where you are about whether or not school is going to be in session right away, but think of it this way. Even if they aren't in school, they may still have a friend in mind that they can give this Bible to. The Truth for Youth Bible consists of the entire New Testament and full-color comics that present the gospel and moral truths. By the way, the Truth for Youth Bible is now also available in Spanish. But the comics deal with issues from a biblical and moral perspective on issues like safe sex, pornography, homosexuality, abortion, school violence, drugs, drunkenness, and peer pressure, those kinds of issues. And what a lot of teenagers do when they are impacted by the Truth for Youth Bible is they start reading the comics and then just keep going through the New Testament. So our goal is to get 60,000 Bibles into the hands of teenagers. There are two ways to order the free Bible. You can go to truthforyouth.com. You can order online anytime. truthforyouth.com. Or you can simply call this number this week between 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central Time. The phone number to call is 800-733-4737. That's 800-733-4737. By the way, if you want to get more than just simply your one free Bible, you can go to truthforyouth.com or call that number. You can buy a whole case for $2 a piece. Great price. Help us get the Bible into the hands of young people who need the Lord.
Hey, Ray.
Yeah.
I know our listeners can't see you, right?
Right.
Yes.
We don't have a camera in your studio. I can see you. I noticed earlier in the hour you dashed to the window.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the night before Christmas. and I know I'm asking you something I haven't prepared you. I didn't tell you I'm going to ask you this in front of everybody, but what's going on outside?
Well, I had the windows open because it's a little bit stuffy. I'm down here on the lower level of our house, and then there was some sirens or something going off, you know, I don't know what was going on outside. And then I heard the birds chirping, and you never know. This is a pretty good microphone I've got here, so you never know what's going to get picked up. So when I heard the sirens and I heard the birds chirping, I thought, man, I better close the windows to get rid of that extra sound. So that's what's going on.
That was an exciting story.
Well, you know.
You know, not as much there as you thought there would be.
I thought something, you know. But you never know when those Canada geese are going to show up.
That's right.
Thinking the same
you
thing
know,
in the background.
Maybe they've left Delaware.
Left Joe Biden and come here to Kansas
and landed in Kansas City, Kansas. All right, Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
This is Major Tom to ground control.
There you go. We got a singer.
I'm stepping out the door.
Y'all going to help me here. I'm a child of the 70s, not 60s.
That was 70s. Yeah. That's David Bowie.
Oh, David Bowie.
Yeah.
Nice.
The guy that looked like a woman in the 70s.
Ziggy Stardust.
Why are you singing that?
Because I heard you guys talking about me parking my spaceship.
Oh, yes. That's right.
At the end of the last hour.
Backing it up into the parking lot. Yeah. Steve actually does listen to the show, even when he's not on it.
He just doesn't pay attention in morning meetings.
No, not in the least.
A little inside joke here, ladies and gentlemen, that we can explain later.
If you insist.
Go ahead, veteran newsman Steve Jordahl.
Attorney General of New York Letitia James is taking on the NRA. She's suing the NRA. She's claiming that...
Who is?
Letitia James, the Attorney General of New York. She is claiming a whole bunch of financial misfeasance, misuse of funds and everything. But she's not just suing to get money. She is suing to disband and dismantle the NRA, to make it go away completely, dissolve the National Rifle Association.
So this was the big announcement?
It was. It just happened a little bit ago, about 15, 20 minutes ago.
Now, how is she going to try to do this, just by overwhelming it with lawsuits?
Or? I'm guessing, and they don't say this in the articles that I've been reading, but I'm thinking that perhaps the NRA is chartered in New York.
Okay.
And, well, this is something that I might ask Abe about later on today if I have a chance. But if they're chartered in New York, they can pull the charter, basically. And she's asking that Wayne LaPierre and other principals of the National Rifle Association never be allowed to serve on the board of charities in New York, etc. But the headline is, New York Attorney General took action today to dissolve the National Rifle Association. Following an 18-month investigation that found evidence, the powerful gun rights group is, quote, fraught with fraud and abuse.
Well, that's just going to go right to court. You know, I mean, that's...
Well, she's taking him there.
Yeah, so, well, yes. I mean, what I'm saying is federal court. I don't think you can just, you know, nilly willy just target corporations for destruction. And it's not the Darth Vader's Death Star. You know, we're targeting you.
You would hope not.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see. Yeah. I mean, anything's probably possible in New York at this point. You know, you got Governor Cuomo and Bill de Blasio in New York City. These guys are trying on the threads for Dictator of the Year.
Boy, they are.
Getting measured. We'll see what happens in New York.
Yeah, so that'll put Second Amendment people up on their ear, get them all energized to go out and vote in November.
Put them up on their ear.
I think you
mixed up your metaphors.
Did I?
It's like parking your rocket.
Yes.
If you can get up on your ear, I want to see that.
Well, that just makes...
That deserved to be in the Barnum and Bailey Circus.
That
right
just
there.
Makes my skin boil.
Does it?
Yes.
Did you mess up your...
I on purpose.
Yeah, okay.
Makes my blood crawl.
Ray, you got a mixed up metaphor you can use? Make it a complete...
Not as good.
All right, go ahead, Steve. Next.
All right, I don't know if you guys, I think you talked about the Sally Yates testimony last hour, did you?
Yes,
yeah,
we did.
Well, I wanted to talk to you, if I could, about Rudy Giuliani, what he has to say, because, and you may have said this, I think I was paying attention, that you guys said that the media didn't bother to cover any of it.
No.
Did you guys?
We
the
said,
media?
We said NBC, CBS, and ABC.
Or in Bible prophecy.
Right.
On that evening did not cover it.
Well,
yes.
They have yet to. And I want you to hear what Rudy Giuliani has to say about that and what he thinks about Jim Comey. This is cut four.
It's corruption, actually. What the media has gone from is being highly biased to being involved now in corruption. I can't go through all the things they've done. You know them. But how do you not cover that? Unless you are part of the Democratic National Committee. And I mean, they're disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Yates' testimony was very, very valuable. I only disagree with my friend Lindsay because I would have asked her, didn't Comey go criminal? Because that's what he did. Comey became a G-man who became a crook. And it's disgusting. Probably the worst thing ever done by an FBI director.
Well, that is interesting what Rudy Giuliani was saying, because saying that Comey went rogue, that's not a legal term. So what Giuliani is saying is that Sally Yates should have been asked if James Comey broke the law.
She wouldn't have answered that.
And she probably wouldn't have.
But
that's right.
It would have been a good question for him to ask.
Well, I would have enjoyed watching her try to dance around that.
Right. Yeah.
Or maybe she doesn't believe he did break the law. Maybe she just said he was off on his own and it didn't involve any of us, and that's all I can say about it.
Well, she did say that she wouldn't have signed those FISA warrant applications that Comey did.
Right.
Did you hear her say that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is all kind of a big power grab. It was by the FBI with the Crossfire Hurricane investigation under President Trump. We're seeing a power grab. I think you guys may have mentioned Mayor de Blasio putting checkpoints up at Central Station. Did you guys talk about that?
We did not.
Anybody coming into New York from any of 30 states or more that have COVID problems or that have an increasing COVID load are going to be stopped, and you have to prove that you have to self-quarantine for 14 days, and they're putting checkpoints up. De Blasio is putting checkpoints up. I want you to hear what Tom Homan, who noted stop and frisk went away, but it's back. This is Cut 5.
Travelers coming in from those states will be given information about the quarantine. They will be reminded that it is required, not optional. Failure to quarantine is a violation of state law, and it comes with serious penalties. In fact, under certain circumstances, the fines can be as high as $10,000.
He wants to detain and question and interrogate U.S. citizens based on what articulable facts? I thought stop and frisk was gone, but he's going to stop and detain and interrogate U.S. citizens, innocent taxpaying U.S. citizens, and at the same time release criminal aliens to the streets of New York that's going to reoffend against the citizens. You and I both know the case where they've been released, either raped or killed U.S. citizens. That city, that mayor's upside down.
Ray, I don't think that the mayor met with the Department of Tourism guy. Welcome to New York.
Well,
now pull over and show us your papers.
Papers.
So theoretically, how is this really going to work? Is it going to have people at LaGuardia and Kennedy checking from other countries, or is this only other states? Are they going to have them on the bridges? New York is the crossroads of the whole world, right? People come there by the millions from everywhere. How possibly are they going to enforce this?
That's the part of the $10,000 question, but they're going to try.
Yeah, this is just getting bizarre the way these governors and mayors are approaching this. You know, we talked about in the last hour not wasting. I think Jan might have brought this up. Not wasting a crisis.
Yeah,
this seems clearly to be their moment for these big statist. Even some of to the point we're making last hour, globalist schemers. This is their big moment, and they don't seem to be wasting it. This is an outrage to say that you're just going to stop people on the bridge or in New York or at the airport and demand that they
can you imagine stopping
quarantine for 14 days
on the bridge?
Well, I mean, so how are they going to pay for that? What if someone's going in for a one-day meeting for business? They're going to meet somebody from their company. They got to quarantine for 14 days, the expense that's going to incur?
People are going to ignore it.
Yeah, if they can, if they can get through. I mean, $10,000 is a pretty hefty fine.
If you start slapping people with $10,000 fines, you won't be ignoring it. But still, I think for the most part, it's unenforceable.
I'm just sitting here, Tim, thinking to myself, those bridges, you know, what's the Brooklyn Bridge, the other ones, you know, they're going to actually hold up traffic on a major bridge in the New York City. Do you think the people of New York are going to sit still for that? I mean, for hours while they are checking. I can't imagine.
Where are you from?
So you telling me today, Steve, if I go out and get on an airplane, right. I get a jet. I fly into New York, and I fly into LaGuardia, and I go outside, I get a cab, go to my hotel, I got a meeting the next day, that perhaps the hotel now will see my Mississippi driver's license when I give them my credit card to check in. They go, you know, Mr. Wildman, sorry to inform you, but you're going to have to stay here for 14 days.
It's getting it's to the point where, yes, that could happen. But, I think at airports. But
I guess, yes. I'm asking you, do you know not could happen? Is that what this means?
I think in at airports they will probably use the TSA to enforce some of those things if they can.
How?
Well, by they said they were going to actually send people to apartments to hotels to knock on doors. He said the mayor is going to send people knock on doors to make sure that you're following the quarantine.
That's insane.
I don't know what to say. That's just not. Anyway, all right, go on, next story.
I want to talk, I could, about we have another instance where perhaps we are headed into some trouble with mail-in ballots. They had a mail-in ballot in Brooklyn in June in one of the primaries, and 25% of the mail-in ballots cast in Brooklyn in June were declared invalid.
Then write them down as Democrat.
Right.
If they're invalid, they automatically qualify as being Democrat votes.
And do they count or not? Because
absolutely, they count twice.
There you go.
That's right.
Well,
there you go.
They said that they were disqualified for not having a postmark or coming in late. Mm-hmm. And 6 weeks after the primaries, the Board of Elections still cannot give you numbers of what Brooklyn votes tallied.
So that's what's coming. That's what's coming to America. Should we allow states to have massive mail-in voting?
A whole lot of people are saying so. Yes.
Uh huh.
Well, I can't wait for that. It's going to make the infamous 2000 election Florida's hanging chads. That's going to make that look like child's play.
Yeah, and you know we laugh about it, and it is humorous on one level to think about that kind of. But it's not going to be a Saturday Night Live skit.
No.
It's going to be I just hope and pray that doesn't happen.
It may warp the election. I mean, can you imagine? This country's already polarized 50-50 thereabouts. Can you imagine an election where one side or the other thinks it was stolen? How that is going to polarize us and ramp up the hostility even more? When, you know, 6 weeks, 2 months after the election, we find out about all these mistakes and double voting and fraud.
Yeah.
The anger that is going to, and I'm saying either side. Which
It'd be better if one side or another won by a landslide.
Yes.
Now, I hope the Liberal Party does not win by a landslide. Don't misunderstand me. But if you have, like we've had the last... How long have we been doing these 50-50 elections here, presidential elections, like three times in a row, hadn't we? Since Gore versus Bush, or has it been not, no?
No, I think President
Obama win handily?
I think he won pretty handily.
Okay. Against McCain and Romney?
Yes. And now Trump was very, very close.
But see, President Trump won through the Electoral College.
That's what I mean. The Electoral College was for Obama.
He didn't win the popular vote because of California, primarily.
Yes.
Because California is so blue. All right, Steve, go ahead.
Hey, is anything that I really like having done to me is I like being lectured on my whiteness by a black billionaire.
Uh-huh.
I tell you, I wake up every morning saying, what can Oprah Winfrey tell me about my whiteness that I don't already know? Oprah has said that... white people have to admit that they're racist.
And she didn't say that.
She did. I want you to hear what she said and some reaction to it. This is Cut 7.
As white people, we even the poorest of the poor, I feel, still has a leg up. And it's
yeah,
it's
and
really
the leg up is what I was saying. You still have your whiteness. That's what the term white privilege is.
That's Oprah.
It means that whiteness still gives you an advantage no matter what.
That whiteness.
Just shut up. That's just foolishness.
Poor Oprah. She's a
minority. Go ahead, Ed. Tell me why I should feel like I'm a more knowledgeable, informed person because of what I just heard.
And then we're going to let Ray in because he's staring out the window again. Yeah. No, I don't know. He's not. Listen, this is my opinion about white privilege. Mm-hmm. If someone asks me, do you believe in white privilege in America, I will say yes. If you admit there is Mexican privilege in Mexico, black privilege in Uganda, and Russian privilege in Russia. What we're talking about is the fact that the majority in any country is going to have some sort of advantage. The language is going to be spoken. It's going to be spoken of the majority. Movies that are shown are going to be movies, for the most part, with the majority race in it. It's not white privilege worldwide. It's just not. I mean, this... What she
said.
So you
agree with Oprah?
No, I disagree. I don't think that a person has an advantage because she's not agreeing with me. She thinks white people have an advantage. Is she saying that white people have privilege in Uganda? No, that's just patently untrue.
That would be a good country song.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It'd
yes.
be a great storyline.
Yes, it would. It would. It's not that white people.
All right,
have taken
Ray, chime
over.
In here.
All right,
Ed.
Go ahead. Because I'll rant.
You heard.
All day.
You heard. Right. You heard Ed's.
Well, he's right, of course. Look, I come into this world with certain quote privileges or advantages because of my family, who my father was, who my mother was, the country I'm born in, my culture, my background, my language. Yes, that and it's just that you can't make a blanket statement that's going to fit all people everywhere in all circumstances. I come in, look, because of who I am and my parents and where they came from, yes, I had certain advantages that put me in a certain place versus other people. And Ed, I had nothing to do with that, right? That's just you come into this life and you make do with what you're given. Some people have more, some people have less. I don't see how we can make much more of it than that.
I noticed Oprah didn't mention wealth privilege.
No.
Right.
Huh? The privilege of money.
Now, life is
not. Let's talk about that.
Life is not fair, and I am less privileged financially than Oprah is, and I'm more privileged financially than maybe some people that live in the inner city, for example. Maybe.
Well, it's not privileged.
Well,
you earned your money.
I did.
While they were selling drugs.
Well, I earned my money while they didn't, and Oprah earned her money while I didn't.
Of course, she can make a lot of money selling drugs.
So let me just kind of clarify in case someone's misunderstanding what I'm saying. Sometimes black people will say, you white people have an advantage because you can always see yourself, your race, represented on television or in a movie. There's not enough black people. There's not enough black actors. Well, it's because the majority spends the money at the movie theater, and generally speaking, they see themselves in these shows. I wouldn't have white privilege if I was in Harlem.
How does this apply to the NBA?
The NFL? No, huh? That's just a product of talent.
No, a privilege.
Well, I'm not following
black,
that one.
Black privilege.
That's a black privilege.
Yeah. How am I wrong?
Well, I don't.
Awkward silence.
No, I would say that kind of proves my point. If young black men are more likely to grow up playing basketball, they're more likely to make it into the NBA than white kids who grow up playing soccer or playing baseball.
Are you saying white men can't jump?
I'm not saying that. Boy, this
that's what you're saying. That's what we all heard.
That's what I heard.
This is a bad time for the show to end.
I can jump, but not very much.
Listen, in the United States of America, there is opportunity unlike any place on planet Earth. Oprah Winfrey is a prime
example
of that.
Here.
All right. All right, Steve, thank you.
My privilege.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ed.
Yeah.
Brent, Fred, everybody, we'll see you tomorrow. Take care.